Okay, perfect. Time for the memory sessions. How was everything? Good? Perfect, perfect. Second day of the conference, a lot of intense things happening. A couple of words about the intro. Yes, this session in general is going to be quite intense. Yes, the previous one about the disc was intense, if you attended too. This one will be also a little bit of that, so we're going to have a flavor of that too. As you see on the slide, my name is Paula J, and what I'm doing for a living, I'm performing the penetration tests, which means that I'm at the end, I'm on the good side, but before we get there, I'm a lot on the bad side. And I do drive a team with the company called Secure. And we do a lot of different types of research within security in different fields, writing different kinds of tools and so on. And I'm also a person that has access to the source code of Windows, quite helpful, but not always, as it appears, because sometimes we have to struggle with a little bit of reverse engineering over different scenarios. So this is a little bit of about intro regarding myself. I'm also speaking at the different types of events, including, of course, Microsoft Ignite, where I was chosen a number one speaker amongst 1,100 speakers. But again, I'm always saying one thing, that it proves that security is quite an important thing. So hopefully you will see that also when we're going to be analyzing different types of memory images. This session is going to be very educational, and it's going to be introductory in a quite a deep way. How to start memory analysis and how to jump into the subject. Is this a cool subject? Well, definitely it is. And hopefully you will get excited as I am, because this is what I'm also responsible for within our team. Yeah, so this is the whole background. In the meantime, a little bit of a story. We've got secureacademy.com/quiz. If you enter that, or just Secure Academy, you're going to find a lot of cool stuff, including my blog posts, where I'm publishing different types of information regarding the security, discovery, and so on. And after this conference, of course, after our tech days, I will do also create a blog post with our tools. The tools that I will be using today, the tools that I was using at the morning session will be there. Yeah, so if you want to download them, they'll be there. I still need to write it though, but this is the first thing I'm going to do when I finish up this session. Yeah. Okay, perfect. So we've got that. What we're going to be talking about today? Well, simply speaking, we're going to be talking about the memory analysis, as you see by the title, which is a very cool subject, especially because this was an inspiration for the session. My friend, who is a developer, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, nothing against developers. It's just that he is a developer. And he was searching for the girlfriend, you know. And what happened is that he was, of course, on all these date portals and that kind of stuff. And he had a very unpleasant experience, which was related with, scheduling a date with a girl. And then who came on the meeting, yes, it was, as we can guess, the girl that was looking absolutely differently on the picture. And she was alive, a different person. So he was like, shoot, that's not what I wanted. Yes, I wanted to what I saw. So he came to me after that and he was like, listen, like, what can I do to prevent this situation happening? Is that all women are like that? I'm like, no. We are okay, yes. It's just you were very unlucky. And in order to prevent this situation, it would be great if you could call this girl, for example, on Skype, and have a little meeting, and you can see her, and you're gonna evaluate if there are vibes in between you and her. And he was like, okay, pretty good idea. So this is exactly what he did. He had a Skype call with this girl and so on, and he comes back to me. I'm like, okay, how was it? And he was like, you will not believe what happened. I'm like, okay. So tell me, so who came finally to the call was a girl, and she was very nice and so on. But then when they met each other, she was different. Because who was actually on a call was the girl's sister, because the other one was too ashamed to be on a call. So it wasn't really the goal that the girl that he kind of wanted, yes? So I'm like, okay, man, like, I don't know what else am I supposed to advise you. And this was something that inspired me for this session, because there is always one conclusion that comes at the end, that deeper research never hurts. And so that is something that applies again to the memory, because within the memory dumps, we can spend a day on it, we can spend minutes, but we can also spend weeks, yes? I know a guy in Russia, he's a professor on one of the universities, and he's writing the books on memory analysis. And I mean, I don't know, like, this guy is genius. He wrote right now the 8th volume of the book, and it's not like another edition, no, it's just that he's got more to say, yes? So if you put it on the shelf, it's like this big, you know, amount of pages about memory analysis. Who's going to read this besides him? I don't know. But he wrote something like that. So long story short, whenever we are thinking, of course, about a memory, this is going to be our agenda for today. So at the very beginning, dumping techniques, memory dump analysis, and live memory analysis, when we're going to be extracting from the operating system the different types of data that is quite pleasant from the secrets perspective. Yeah, so that's going to be our case. But of course, before we get to the point, I would like to show you something very, very nice related with how things work within the memory, so that we are able to get into conclusion that memory is indeed something that contains a lot of information, and sometimes it's worth to dive a little bit deeper to find out what is happening out there. Okay, so in order to start, I always have like a warming up demonstration where we're going to be playing with finding something in the memory. And in order to do that, I have prepared a little bit of a case. This is just a machine. And I got here notepad.exe. And that notepad.exe, it's, as you see, a regular process, so nothing really, really special. What's the case? Is that at that certain point we can spot that this process exists, nothing really special, I mean, it's just a regular process. And what will be the case is that we're going to hide this process, and we're going to hide it by being within the debugger, because I'm connected with the debugger to this virtual machine, without being a rootkit. So we're going to go so low, so low, that we will be able to modify something that is allowing us to display processes in the operating system, which is called active process links. This is a very interesting structure, which, of course, I'm super happy to explain. The first thing we're going to do, so I'm going to bring on in here that debugger, and I got a little bit of a cheat sheet here. I did it because it's going to be a lot of typing, so that would be a little bit better if I just double-click on something rather than type, because this presentation, we rather focus on the result rather than knowing the debugging techniques for that. Yeah. So the first thing that I'm going to do, let's find the process. Yeah. So we are trying to find the process, and that is this one, and we do !00notepad.exe. And what I'm searching and finding over here is this notepad here. This is the place in a real live memory, live analysis, where notepad is in the memory. Yeah, so this is a 64-bit address within the memory. Now, the reason why I did like that is because that's how we do it within the debugger. It's a very basic debugger command. First zero stands for, because I don't know what's the process ID, I don't know where this process is. Second zero stands for basic information, just give me the basics, yeah, like that. And notepad, obviously, because I know the process name, yeah? So then we got this. Then we do dot process, and we specify the address, how we want to connect to that particular process, yes? This structure that we are talking about allows us to list processes in Task Manager, Process Explorer, and stuff like that. So it's called Active Process Links, as I've mentioned, and it's very simple because it indicates to the next process and to the previous process. So every process, putting it in a different frame, has a link to the next one and the previous one. What does it mean, next one, previous one? Well, from the time perspective. If I start calculator after notepad, then it's going to be the next one, yes, and the next one. Yeah? So it's like kindergarten kind of thing. So they hold each other's hands, and what's the question here? Is it possible that we modify that structure so that nobody, absolutely nobody, knows where the processes are? Yes, of course you can do it, yes, if you got appropriate access. But my point is how to rather find these things, not how to hide these things. So I'm going to hide the process quickly, and then we're going to learn how to find it, because that's not trivial, yes? So let's move on. So we are right now, actually, I'm going to reload the symbols just to make sure I'm on a safe page. Okay, that's perfect. So I am right now within the process. And what I will do, I'm going to set up T0 and T1. T0 and T1 variables are the ones that T0 is, as we've got here, it is next. So some process that started after Notepad, and the previous one, it's some process that started before Notepad. I've got a guess, I don't know, that it could be a CMD, because I started the CMD just before, but maybe there was something in between. We will see that, yes, in a moment. Lovely. So we're going to calculate in set offsets to verify what is the distance from me to the place where the other process manages the same type of a structure. Because this guy over there points to me, and I point to him. So I want to know where in this guy's memory is this particular structure. And let's see what's the previous one. Okay, so apparently Task Manager, because I started Notepad. I started Task Manager and then Notepad to find out the process ID. And this was something that was starting at the next moment. Yeah. So, yeah, this is the history. Lovely. So the next thing that we will need to do is actually very simple here. Yes, because then we will go into the modification part. Yes, and then what I'm going to do, and this is a quite a complex case, maybe not that complex, but let me explain. So when I'm Notepad and I've got here, let's say in our case it was a Task Manager and WCE. Yeah, so I'm in the middle. So I'm going to take this guy's link and point to this guy's link and point to this guy. Yes. Thanks to that, even Notepad is pointing to these two guys, but it's not a bidirectional list. Nobody points to me. And if nobody points to me, the list is broken. Can I, for example, lose half of the processes in operating system and never see them again, and they will be still running? Of course. And that's exactly my point. Yes. Can process be hidden? Sure. But that's kind of a cheap way to hide it, since you're going to know how to find it, yes? And that's, by the way, the only way how we are able to hide that stuff in Windows, yeah? So let's move forward. So we've got this, we've got that, so we change it, and then I'm going to click Go. But before I do it, please, hopefully it will all work out. Observe Notepad. Yes, what's going to happen? So I do Go. Yes, and Notepad is gone. And where is Notepad? In the back. So where is Notepad then? It was hidden. So how we are able to find it? Because this process is still working, but in the task manager, it's simply speaking not there. Could it be that maybe we should run some another tool, like Process Explorer and so on? Yeah, well, yes, we should, but it will not be our answer here. But Process Explorer, for sure, will allow us, at that certain stage, to find the process. And that is the hot style approach, hot style demonstration. Introducing us to the memory analysis, searching something in the memory, and with one conclusion, which we're going to get to in a moment, yes? So we've got this one. Yep. Oh, yeah, of course. One thing I need to do. Let me close it. I'm going to take this one, shift, right-click, run as a different user, and I'm going to run it as a local user, because that's the only user that I've got that has a debug privilege. I have secured my system. By default, everybody has debug privilege anyway, so this is something to definitely have a look at. Come on. Client-server runtime subsystem. Hopefully it will all display me the information. Not yet. Come on. Okay, I got a better way to do it then. Either we can start it as Pola, or we can get into psexec, sid, cmd.exe. And always run it as a local system. Yes, that is always the option. Yeah, so let me get there to tools, Prots Explorer. Lovely. Yeah, this would be exactly giving us a little bit more information. This is something that we call debug privilege, by the way. And where are we going to go to? We're going to go to the process that is called client server runtime subsystem. So I'm sorting things alphabetically. Lovely, and then this is the place where we have it. Perfect. So what I'm displaying over here, it's a list of handles. In the memory analysis, in the bottom window, handles, it's an absolutely crucial value, because handles give us details where the other files are. You will see, as one of my demonstrations, I will show you where we are able to find files in a memory based on the handles from the different files. And that's going to be quite cool because you are able to extract the files from the memory and actually read them, yes? So let's have a look. So this is a client server on time zone system. We've got two. One is responsible for user operations, another one for system operations. And when we get into details, I will display this to you because I kind of know what to search for. That's not this process. I'm searching for the handle to the process that was hidden. And it's kind of hard for me to, like, what am I searching for if it was hidden? Well, answer to that is very simple. Non-existent process. That is exactly our notepad. Yes? So thanks to that, we are able to find out where that there is some kind of a process. Yes? So it's a 3748. Well, that's great, but I don't know what's 3748, yes? Can I have a look into it? And can I have a little bit more information about it? Absolutely. I can do it over here. So in the debugger, I will say process 3748 and then 0 to display basic information about that particular process. And as you see, we wonder or not, that is the hidden notepad. So what's the conclusion? That in a memory, nothing can be hidden. Because whatever works, it's always in the memory. And that's like total conclusion that comes out there. So whatever happens, yes, it's going to be always in the memory. You will be always able to find things. It's really a matter of how we do it. And that how, it's quite difficult. But that's why you are here. And that's why I'm here to, of course, introduce you to the subject that it's not that bad, yes, if you want to start. So this is something that introduces us to the memory subject. How to find this process and why did I get access to the handles of client server runtime subsystem? Well, client server runtime subsystem, it's a very important guy in operating system, yes? That's the one that is managing resources of the processes. So who, if not this guy, knows where the process is? Because when the process is starting, it's actually talking to the client server runtime system. Hey, I want to start. That's the process create function. These are my details. So start me, please, and give me the resources. So this guy 100% knows where the things are. And I'm always laughing that in the memory, things look like this. Yes? Nobody can see me, right? You don't see me, guys. Yeah, you don't. So this is exactly the same story. Yeah? Processes are hiding, yes, but they're never hidden because we know how to find them. Okay, guys, so what's the purpose? What's the purpose of memory dumps? How do we do this analysis? Why do we do it? And so on. Well, answer is very, very simple. We do it because we want to troubleshoot, or we do it because we want to find the juicy, cool type of information. Can we affect memory on the live operating system? Absolutely. Yes, absolutely we can do it. For example, one of the exploitation techniques, or many of them actually, they are the ones that affect memory directly. Yes, so things are loaded under the certain address, and the other things are reading from that address, or reading, writing, or executing, and then we are able, for example, to get somewhere. Yes, so this is one of the cases. So memory, yes, it's a very sensitive area, but it definitely it's a source of a great information. Now, question is, should we share the memory dumps that we have with people? Yes, when someone, for example, says, hey, I see that your application is crashing, just give me your memory dump. Well, I can tell you that one of our developers, he is a very nice person, very, very nice person, but he is a malware analyst, and he signed up for the forum, which is called Bleeping Computer, one of the greatest forums for malware analysts. And what we made a team experiment. I mean, don't get me wrong, we're not evil people, but it was an evil experiment, yes? So we wanted to help people, yes, by saying that, oh, we're going to solve problem with your malware, absolutely. Like, just give us a whole system dump, and from that, we're going to be able to tell you what's wrong, yes? And people were giving this. And that is actually quite sad. Why? Well, because whenever we perform the dumps, yes, we are able to extract a lot of different types of data from that memory dumps. Yes, for example, whenever we play with the hibernation file, yes, I will show you a bunch of dumps how we are able to analyze them. For example, hibernation file, it's the copy of what we've got in the memory that is being copied on the disk, as we all know, as a matter of hibernation. Well, this is all lovely, but this is the whole system dump copied to the disk. So can I, for example, take it and can I, well, analyze it, absolutely, yes. So that's what we're going to be doing. So what I've got over here, this is the hyperfill.sys, as you see. And hyperfill.sys for Windows 7 and Windows 8.1, for example. And this sys file was converted by myself by the free tool that is called hyper2dmp. It's written by my colleague Matthew Susch, which wrote a very nice memory dumper, which I will be demonstrating to you in a moment, yes? So I was able to just copy this file and converted it, and I'm ready to debug it. So how can I open the hibernation file? Well, there are plenty of ways. One of the ways we could use maybe this one, it's to open it in a debugger. So I'm opening this one in the debugging tools for Windows, and this is exactly what opened on my screen right now. And that looks like this, yeah? So you already saw the debugger, yeah, WinDBG. Now, what is kind of not cool, just a little bit of a case, is that by default it gets into this 32-bit interpreter, but this was a 64-bit operating system. So if you will be in this situation, very simple action, effective machine, AMD 64, enter, and then we are ready to go. Now, this hibernation file, am I able to analyze it? Absolutely, in many different ways, but what is my point over here is to show you why we shouldn't share a memory dump with the other people. So we've got that. Now, second thing I'm going to do, it's I'm going to find a process that is the boss of all of the processes in operating system, which is exclamation mark process 00 lsass.exe. Yes? So this guy is the boss. Now, local security authority subsystem, it's in this place in this dump in the memory, so we already know the gig because I already explained you the technique, yes? And I'm going to copy this address, Control-C, and I'm going to get inside that process because I need to extract information from the zero offset from that process, yes? So I'm going to be operating inside the process. So exclamation mark process, R and P, and we put the dump, we put the address, and then we got it. Now, last two steps. I'm going to load the library that is actually my tool. Dot load mimi lib. We got it. And when I do that, you already know our team is also a co-author of the Mimikatz. Mimikatz, exclamation mark Mimikatz. Yes, and then as simple as this, I'm able to extract from that particular hibernation file all the cool stuff related with users' logon data. Yes, in the clear text. Obviously, why in a clear text? Because local security authority subsystem has the key that it uses, it's actually its own password that it uses to encrypt that kind of data as a matter of data protection API, as I was explaining on the first session, and that's why we're able to decrypt it, yes? So this is what we got from the hibernation file. So any memory dump, really, yes, gives us that kind of information as long as, of course, it contains the content of ELSAS, yeah? So as simple as it is. Okay, guys, so this is the setup. Now, next subject is actually quite interesting because it's quite important to know how do we perform these dumps. Because I had already hibernation file. Hibernation file is done. You can just copy it, it's done. Yeah, so not a big deal. How do we do that? Well, there are many ways of doing this, including, for example, getting here, yes, and then to the task manager, and then I right-click on some of the processes, let's say this one, and then I perform the memory dump, and then that memory dump is being created. Yeah, so, and this is something that you analyze. Another way of doing this, of course, Process Explorer, same story. We are able to perform the dump within the Process Explorer of the chosen process if we want to. Yeah, so this is another case. But there are also quite more interesting tools. One of the tools that I wanted to show you is this. Procdump. Procdump written by Mark Krasinovich and Andrew Richards that allows you for enormous capabilities if it's about dumping memory. Example, if you are analyzing malware and you've got your sample environment somewhere where you run this malware and you want to do something about it and so on, then you make some change, you do something, and then malware crashes. Could it be that on crash, or on close, on termination, maybe not necessarily crash, but on termination, yes? Malware drops something somewhere? Of course, yes? Malware can, for example, put, I don't know, stuff in the pending rename operations, and next time you're going to reboot, you're going to have a blue screen, whatever, yes? But I want to know that exactly. So what do? I do simple thing, that over here, I can specify, for example, proc dump minus t. So on termination, make a dump. So I'm going to capture that last moment. And that's awesome. For example, what if my application is going crazy? Because performance of it is very, like, instable. And for now, it's okay, but I don't know when the application is going to get this peak. Yes, and am I supposed to wait there? Not necessarily. Create the trap. Yes, for example, I am here, in this example, hunting for the memory leak. And the way I'm doing it is actually quite straightforward, because what I will be doing here, I'm monitoring for the virtual bytes for the application that I call leaky app. This is one of the applications that we wrote. What's the purpose of it? The application has no purpose. The application only causes a memory leak, yes? So it's a very nice gift for someone that you don't like, yes? So long story short, I want to show you how that memory is visible within the different types of software, yes? I can, for example, for that, choose Process Explorer, and within the Process Explorer, we're going to get into the properties of the process, like you see over here, and we're going to get into performance tab. And what is so crappy about our app is that it already has such a big amount of the virtual memory taken. So this is the inner process memory that doesn't have a reflection on the physical size, but this is just an amount of addresses that this application uses. And it's big. It's just too big. I mean, there is nothing good about this application. Okay, so what we will be observing in this demonstration are two things. First of all, virtual size growing. Second, dump being made when we reach the certain amount of virtual bytes. Because when the application is like this, it's fine. But when there is this moment that application goes like this, oh, I want to have a memory dump. Why? Because then developer will not be like this. But we're going to be like, memory dump of the situation, analyze, yes? So this is the momentum we're able to use for troubleshooting. Have a look, guys. Yes, simple case. So I am right now here in the trap for the process. This one is not growing yet because I did not run the application. And I got here the application. I told you it's crappy. Yes, that's this application. And the only thing it has is the button which is called memory leak, that's the one that we're going to use. So when I do memory leak, what happens? Have a look. Virtual size crazy grows. It crazy grows. And when it's going to get into 400,000, yes, then we're going to be performing dump over here. Yes, so this is how we are able to use it for troubleshooting. Quite a simple scenario. And as you see, I gave over here the memory, but the process ID. Yes, and it reached the 500 max. And on that, of course, I'm performing the memory dump. I'm waiting just in case it's like it takes for a longer time, and then we got it. Excuse me, I have to kill it, because otherwise I will not be able to survive until the end of this presentation, yes? That's what I mean by a nice gift. Okay, so this dump is here, and this is something that we can use for the analysis, yeah? So this is one of the ways how we are able to perform dumps. Now, is there any other way to do it? Absolutely, yes, there is. I'm going to start the console as an administrator. I need to do it because in order to perform the memory dump of the whole system, you need to be a member of the administrators group of the chosen applications, not necessarily. Yeah, so this is the setup. Okay, good. So how do we do the dump? Well, there is a tool called Dumpit. This is exactly what I was mentioning. Yes, Dumpit. This is a tool of Matthew. Yes, and at that certain point, yes, it asks me if I would like to proceed to the acquisition. Well, forgive me, I will not say yes because it's not a breathtaking demo. You will only see the data being written to the disk and that's it. But how much memory you've got, yes, this is how much or how big is going to be the memory dump file that you can analyze later. So what do we do with that dump? Yes, I will show you an example of analysis on not my own dump, but the dump that I prepared already. Yes, so here I'm just going to take it, and I need to be careful not to press yes. Yeah? Okay, so how we are able to analyze that particular memory when we already have a dump? Well, that is actually quite a simple case. Well, if you like Python. If you don't like Python, then it's still a simple case, but it's going to be a little bit less pleasant. Yes, so we've got it. Now, a little bit of a comment before we get to the analysis. What do you need to get yourself in order to start? Yes, a little bit of a good advice, because Python scripts within the memory analysis, it's such a pain in the you-know-where. Yes, it's horrible. Like, there is this moment that you get into one of the blogs and someone just wrote a fantastic module, fantastic script to extract you a nice information from the memory. And you were like, yes, finally, yes, someone did that. Because it takes a long time. Yes, to write the first version of Mimikatz, it took over 2 years. I mean, one of our tools took over 6 months to write it. You have to be patient. But so when someone writes the script, you're like, yay. And then everybody in the comments, in a blog says, thank you, amazing, thank you, oh wow, finally, blah, blah, blah. Then you take the script and you are like, it doesn't work. Yeah, so why everybody is so happy? Yeah, probably because nobody tested it. There's so many different things posted there, like with a pride, that just simply doesn't work. And then we're like, there's no chance it's working. And then we are analyzing it and fixing it in our team. And when it's fixed, then it works. And you're like, how could it be? So you have to be very patient. But to have a smooth start, you need to do for sure 3 things. 1, download Python. I would recommend 32-bit version 2.7x. 2.7, please. Because anything else, if you download, yes, even if you're going to be like, oh, I want to be the most up-to-date person having Python, forget it. Forget it. Because memory analysis is very often supported by community. And community doesn't have time if someone doesn't pay community. So basically, these scripts are okay. They're okay. But very often, they're not up-to-date. That's my point. So if you're going to have a smooth experience, Python 2.7, 32-bit. Okay, then download yourself, obviously, ActivePython, also 32-bit. Yes, this is a great start. And the third thing, it's to download yourself Volatility, also 32-bit, because it doesn't really matter if you are analyzing the 64-bit operating system or 32-bit. Volatility 32-bit is good. Why? Because 64-bit modules, they barely exist. There's a lot of 32-bit developing, but 64-bit, unnecessary. I don't know why, I don't want to know. Yes, I'm just giving you a good tips how to jump smoothly. So Python, Active Python, all 2.7, 32-bit, and then Volatility, 32-bit, and then we can start what we're going to be doing right now. Yes? So, okay, guys, ready to start. So we've got over here Volatility, and Volatility PY, that is a script that allows us for the analysis of the memory dumps that were already made. And what I want to show you is the situation where we're going to be analyzing minus F, a file that I've got here on the dtools dumps, and it's called analyze.dmp, profile. And then you need to specify, of course, the profile. And that profile is going to be for us. It was, I think, Windows 7 SP 1x64, yes? Even though it is a 32-bit volatility, it doesn't really matter, yes? And then we're going to, I would like to show you the difference. One thing we're going to do is PS list. Yeah, so we're going to list all the processes that are in this particular, not Windows 7, but not Windows, win. Like this. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So this is the momentum. We are listing the processes in that particular system. Yeah, so let me make it like this. Okay, so I mean, what's so cool about that? Well, nothing really special until we understand one thing. Remember active process links? Okay. This gets the information about the processes from that structure. What if that structure is cheated on? And in this case it is. We've got a better way. We've got the command that is called PS scan, and that is so much better because it will give us the list of the processes based on the handles to them. That's so much better. It takes long time because we have to go through the whole memory and scan it, but at the very end, we're going to get what we want, PS scan. In my case, it's quite quick because the whole memory dump is loaded into my memory, so I'm kind of like operating on it smoothly, but I'm able to show you one little case. There is a process, it's called malware.exe in this PS scan. If we're going to get a little bit higher and we find out the result of the PS list, where is malware.exe? It's just not there. Yeah, so hopefully you see the first difference and the value of analysis of the memory. Now, let's move further, because that's not everything. That's actually beginning, yeah? So CLS, bring it on. Now, the next thing we are able to find out, for example, we are able to get into CMD scan. And CMD scan, it takes a little bit of time, but it gives you the full history of whatever was typed in into the CMD. Yeah, so this is the history of the CMD commands. So you can spot that someone was typing conhost, dump it, something like that. Yeah, so this is what was typed over there. So it's going to take a little bit of time. Yeah, we will not wait until the end. But this is the history of the CMD. Now, can I, for example, get a little bit better view? Of course, there is consoles. Consoles, it's another one which gives me an output of what did you see in the CMD in your output. So if you do deer, I'm gonna have a print screen of your deer. Yes, so if this was the case, yes, we should be able to find out, and it also takes time, that kind of an output. So if I was running, for example, dump it, yeah, and I will be able to see here in a moment the output of a dump it. Yeah, so this is the setup. Sometimes, as you see, we need to be patient. This is actually a small dump, yes? And that takes time, yeah? So this is the case. I guess we're going to be, okay, not even back, but this is the output. So over here, we are able to see that I was running the previous version of the dump it, and this is exactly what I saw. And this is, in this case, a 2 gig image. So it takes a little bit of time to search within the 2 gigs. What about 8 gigs? What about 16 gigs to analyze? It takes time. So we need to be always armed with the machine with a lot of RAM so that we are able to put all the dump into the memory and then quickly mingle around that, yes? So this is the case. Okay, guys, so this is all nice and cool, but I want to show you something cooler. That would be the way how we are able to extract files from the memory. And that's really nice. So what we're going to be using over here is, at that stage, I'm going to be using the DLL scan, because what I want to, DLL list, yeah, and I'm going to put it into DLL txt, and we get it. Now, why am I doing this? Because I want to show you one thing. How am I able to extract event log from the memory? I want to see what was happening in this operating system in the past. Yeah, I want to get access to the whole event log. Is it possible? Yes, but it's quite difficult to find out. Why? Because how am I supposed to find the files in the memory? Well, because probably they were loaded by someone. Who loads event log? Event log service, right? So why don't we find an event log service and get the handles from it, yes? Okay, but where is the event log service? What is the instance of the event log service? And answer is SVC host. Oh, that's great. Because we've got a couple of SVC hosts. So question is, which SVC host? How am I able to recognize SVC host that runs event log? By the DLL it loads. Because the event log service is actually a DLL. Yeah? So I'm searching for that to find the SVC host to extract files from it. And that's going to be quite a straightforward operation. So we've got our DLL txt, and that DLL txt, yes, it looks like this. So what do we search for here? Well, we search for one thing. This is going to be WEVTSVC. Yeah, show me this. We got it. So that is the proof that event log was running, and the process ID is 848. Yes? So, lovely. So we are almost home. I'm going to copy this, close this, and take this out. And then, here, we're going to run a similar command, but instead of DLL list, we're going to give a command of dumping files. And that is actually quite simple. Dump files. It's a module called like that. And we will specify that we would like to run them from the process ID, which is, in our case, 848, and we're going to dump them in the directory that is called file handles. I had this directory already created. It's empty. So let's do it. And what am I doing right now? I'm extracting, yes, that particular files from the memory, dumping them to the certain folder. As you see, this is exactly what's happening. If we have a look at here, this is nothing but the event log, yes? But there is a little bit of a problem again, because as at Windows XP, event log was very simple to analyze, and it wasn't that difficult in a structure, though in Windows Vista Plus, Microsoft introduced EVTX, and even this X stands for XML. It doesn't mean it's simple. It is actually a hell difficult file format where we've got different chunks of data being digitally signed, chunks are signed, portions are signed. There's a lot of signing inside that file. I know it because we reverse engineered that file format, and it was a road through hell, yes? So at the end, we're able to collect these EVTXs and make them readable. Let's have a look. So what we're going to do over here, start dot, and within start dot, we've got our file handles, yeah, so this is the place, and we've got over here different options. What I'm going to do, I'm going to search for, let's say, application log, application security, whatever, yeah, so this is the one. I'm going to copy this guy, copy, and I'm going to put it to one of my tools where I will be analyzing that particular log. Yeah, so that's going to be quite interesting. Let me, of course, show you the whole story. We're going to put this. I've got a tool. I just copied this. It's called CQ EVTX Recovery. And this is the tool that we wrote. When did we write it and why did we write it? Well, we've been in a situation that one of our customers in Germany, managing a huge factories area, has been sabotaged, putting it in a short words, by the internal administrator, actually by the domain admin, who was killing some services upon some certain time, with a certain frequency. And when he killed all of the domain controllers, that German customer lost almost 4 million euros, and trucks were literally queuing up in front of the factory for the 2.5 days. I would say that this is enough motivation to invite someone to help you, yes? So that's why we came in. And we were like, what to do? Finally, shortening the story a little bit, we managed to sneak into the administrator's room, and then we performed a memory dump of his computer. And we were extracting the logs, but because this was a Windows 7, we were like, there is no tool in this world that can help us to play with the EVTXs. And behold, because we had a little bit of experience with the file type already, we've written a tool that allows us to make them integral. Yes? So how does it work? Well, we're going to do it like this. I will create over here new folder that is called out, and I'm going to create over here new folder that is called in, and I'm going to take this file. It's going to be a little bit more comfortable for me to do it like that, and then let me get to this place with the command line, because the tool is actually a command line tool. Yes, so we are already here. I'm going to put this path, perfect, yes, CLS, let's go up. And let's have fun. CQ is EVTX file recovery, question mark. Yes, we've got in and out of the file. Now, one thing to show you absolutely so that you got the experience of what we are talking about. Yes, here we've got this VACB file. The extension doesn't matter. I'm going to rename it to the EVTX. Yes, like we see it. And I'm going to run it. And question is, will it open? Yes, in some of the cases it does, because it's actually okay, but in this case it says, because file is corrupted. Okay, that's kind of not cool, so maybe there is something we can make about it. Yes, we can, that's why we are here. So we're going to do, of course, that stuff, and the tool is written by our developer. His level of user friendliness is very low, so don't be surprised, because we use it like this, so for the folder, yeah? So we were specifying this, or actually --, in, and then it's going to be in, --, out, and it's going to be out. Yeah, logical, right? Okay, so we do it like that. And at the end, it gets into, lovely, our log, and we manage to recover 17 records. So let's get into out. We've got here deer, and we've got this our file. Let's open it. Let's try to open it. And this is the file that is right now opened. And this is our event log that we managed to recover, yes, in comparison with this one, where we, when we try to do something about this, yes, then this is immediately displaying me the error message that things were not working out, yes. So this is a little bit advanced recovery of data from the memory. But you can recover print screens, files, documents, that's a little bit easier. Who and how to recover documents? WinWord has handles the files. So you do, you know what to do. Yes, you know what to do. Yes, I showed you the more advanced way, more advanced file types for the analysis. Lovely. Okay, so we've got that area. Now, question is, how can we, for example, perform a little bit of a live analysis? Yes, so we know how to perform the dump. Now, let's find out stuff that is related with the system and live memory analysis. Yes. So, what to search for? Well, we are searching for, as we know, processes, threads, handles, yes, different types of options. It's not much, yes, it's not the rocket science. It's just that it's a lot of data. That's really what takes time. And sometimes we've got some dependencies, yes. But handles, it's, as I already mentioned, one of the most valuable resources within the memory. Now, question is, how can we extract and affect the memory in life, in the life scenario? And this is what I wanted to show you. What we will be playing with is at that certain stage, and let me get to my area, it's the PowerShell. And over here, we're going to be running the invoke Mimikatz within the PowerShell. Now, this is this part of the Mimikatz, this dump search, is what we have added to the invoke Mimikatz script, because we were wondering, is it true? And again, like, we paid for this operating system, so if someone says no, I mean, how could this happen? Yes, it's my operating system. Yes, if I have a certificate, come on guys, with the private key that is not exportable, it's such a lie, because we are using it. So whenever we've got within the PKI our template and we're like, oh, we will not allow user to export the private key, and we don't select the checkbox, make the private key exportable, yes, I mean, it's just a value of the file that prevents this, yes? This is absolutely exportable because we use it. Let me show you. So what we're going to do, we're going to get into, in this machine, into the CertMGR MSC. And I've got over here, within this particular user, bunch of different types of certificates, yeah, for example, contoso.com, that I would like to export. Yeah, so I go next. Oh, and this is grayed out. No, I cannot export the private key. What? It's my certificate. Yeah, so I want it. And what is the worst thing is that I've got it. You see the logo. I've got the private key. So who says this? So we don't worry, obviously, because the personal container, and that's, by the way, a little tip for the people that are managing a lot of web servers, yes? So we've got a certificates personal container. That personal container, when you use it within the web server, within the IIS, what happens is that if you log on, all the certificates from that containers are loaded in the memory, not the ones that we request. All of them immediately. So obviously, if we want it or not, you want it or not, the private key is where? In the memory, yes? So let's find out. So can I, for example, use this? Yeah, absolutely. Invoke Mimikatz dump certs, yes? Let's do it. And let's find out if we will be able to perform this kind of operation, yes? It takes a little bit of time. I will just cancel this one because I got also the device, yes, over here. And param, we've got all the different types of stuff here. So we could be analyzing this with OpenSSL, for example, and so on. But why should we do it if over here we can just try to open it? Where am I? I'm in the C drive. And this was where? Extracted where? I will need to find. Ah, this was extracted where the Mimikatz is, actually. So not on the C drive, but it's in the desktop. And this is the place. Today it's 17th, so this is the place. And I've got 6 a.m. because I've got the Seattle time. So over here, yes, I can see over here, contoso.com, perfect. Yes, for the current user it was, so it should be this one. For the local machine, I've got two, yes. So I've got for the current user. And the question is, what is the password? And the password is, at that stage, display password, Mimikatz. Because this is what we append when we are getting that certificate from the memory. So this is how private key being not exportable, it's absolutely exportable because it's in the memory and it's so easy to grab it. Yes? So this is a little bit of a case. If you ever lost the password of your PFX file and you've got the server where you've got your private key, you know what to do. Yes? You know exactly what to do. Okay, guys, so this is a little bit of a case. Now, question is, how else and what else we're able to perform it within the live memory analysis. And what I would like to show you, it's something that is a little bit new. It is actually very, very new, and that is related with the live memory extract and live memory inject situation, okay? And that is actually pretty nice because it's related with the smart cards. Do you guys use smart cards? Or maybe do you know someone that uses smart cards within the enterprise? For sure. Yes, some of you do. Okay, great. So there are some bad news for these guys. Bad news are like that. I got also as well machine that uses a security device. In this case, I'm using a virtual smart card because it's a Hyper-V. I cannot use the smart card. But it's exactly the same problem here. So this particular user will log on to the domain. Boom, 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 boom. Yes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, we get it. So this is the case. He logged on. Now, what is pretty interesting is that, let me give you a little bit more background. The background is like this. When the user is logging on with smart card, user is logging on, which means it can do it. He can log on to the domain using Kerberos, because that's exactly what he's doing when he's using the smart card. Okay, we got it clear. Now, how does the login to the with the Kerberos to the domain look like? It looks in a way that we take the private key within the smart card and we sign with this private key a pre-authentication Kerberos request to get access to the domain. So we've got two stages, not one, but two. So if I pre-sign it, is there a way that I could, in the middle of this process, take this request and keep it for later? That's my point. It's divided into two processes. And this ticket, let's call it, or pre-auth, CURP pre-auth, as we call it, so it's a pre-authentication ticket, was created when we were in the possession of the private key. Now check this out. When I submit this ticket later, Kerberos protocol does not have a verification if you are in a possession of the private key at the moment you submit it. Where's the problem? Can I generate it for the next 10 years? Sure. So if you are like, user, give me the smart card. You no longer work here. User is like, I got pre-generated pre-out tickets. I can submit it when I want to. Yeah. So this is what I want to show. Okay. With this positive accent, let's do it. I got here a command. So this is actually one of the tools. Yes. PKI knit mastiness.exe. Yes. This is basically also our edition. You can find the edition on the Benjamin's, within the Mimikatz website. Our edition, as I was mentioned previously, it's not recognized by antivirus. It's a tool secure edition, which I will show you. And basically, what it will do, it will generate a ticket, pre-authentication ticket, that I can take, and I can submit on the other machine, yes, and authenticate from the other machine, even the one that is not a member of the domain. Yes, we're going to do that. So let's see how that stuff works. So I will take this one, and I'm generating these tickets. Perfect. So what the user will do, and I'm going to do it quite nicely, user brings on his own machine. Yeah, so he is like, whatever, I'm just going to turn it off. We've been playing with this machine, so I'm starting it on. Yes, and user will log on as a local user in a moment. Yes, and over here, we've got these tickets. So let me actually get to that place, start dot. And these tickets, yes, they all need to be submitted at a certain time. As you see, I got here 6:26 a.m. So we need to find out which one is this. Yeah. So this is 6:26 that we've got. Yeah. So I will be interested in that particular ticket. So I'm going to copy this, and this is generated 1 minute ahead of time. So I got time to copy it and so on. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay. So this is the setup. And the next stage that we're going to do over here is that I will drop it somewhere, yes? So I'm going to copy this to one of the user's workstations. Actually, this particular workstation is not really, maybe I should do it sorry, I will do it from the other machine. It's not up yet, so I'm not able to, because it's still booting, to get access to it. So I'm going to take maybe this guy, and I'm going to get to this place, to this machine. This one was W Windows 10 client, and number 3, C dollar, I got it. Yes, and this was in the users, and this was in the users Freddy's desktop, where he was generating all the stuff. Yeah, so these are the Kakao, our tickets, yes, that we've generated right now. Lovely, lovely. So what I will do at that certain point, let me maybe, use this ticket. So at that certain stage, one more time, sorry for the confusion. We've got, come on, just be there. No, not from this machine, from the other machine. Okay, here we go. Yes, this is the one. I'm going to copy all of the tickets. Well, either to myself, because I can do that, but I see already that my other machine is up, so I'm going to actually go into that particular machine. So this is Windows 8 client and C dollar, so I'm going to get there. And then I've got over here some kind of a tools, yes, and then I'm going to put them into hooks, and hooks could be one thing, Kiwi Secure Edition, maybe here, oh lovely, lovely. We've got Kakao, and I'm going to put this stuff over here. Yeah, so this is the case. They start from 4D something something. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Now, let me get to this machine, the one that was not related, and it's not connected to the domain. And I'm going to log on to this machine as a local user. Yes? Hopefully it will all work out, fingers crossed, because it's quite a sensitive demo. Yes? So in the worst case, I will just describe it to you, but fingers crossed, yes? I'm with the positive thoughts. And I'm going to start, for example, this Explorer, and I will try to get access to the WS2012DC secure.tech, which is our domain controller, yes? And then basically I press enter. I'm not able to get access to that domain resource because I'm logged on as a local user. Lovely. So over there, I'm going to also start the console as a regular user because I don't need to be anybody but this. And I'm going to get into the tools, Kiwi Secure Edition, and Kakao, perfect start dot. Yes, and the one that I need by date modified, the one that I need will be with the name, yes, over here, of the 6, so this is a 17, oof, that's going to be kind of hard to find. I hope I will be able to find it easily. So 17, 17, 6, 23 is going to be this one. Yes, because this is exactly the date. And as you see, in the meantime, we were not able to get access to the domain case. 17, 06, 23. Okay, perfect. So I'm going to rename it, and I'm going to copy that. Lovely. And over here, when I've got the tools, ask TGT, yes, and I will be submitting over here, yes, at that certain stage, the ticket, yes, so ask TGT, and then we specify in here, come on, ask rec, yes, and at that moment, I will be, of course, saying what exactly I would like to do over here. And at that certain stage, I will put the ticket, so we've got ask rec, and then we got it. We specify the paste ticket, so dot musti, because that's the name, and then we do /ptt, pass the ticket, and then let's see if the ticket was submitted. Missing the user argument, let me see. Ask rec and so on, ptt, ask tgt, yeah, it's all good actually. Ask rec. PTT, yeah, so we've got that. We are not missing any of the user's argument, unless I've got the problem with the tool. Yeah, okay, sorry, we need to check on that. This is Mimi, this is our Kakao, and this is, maybe I should just use this one. It's all good, but just to make sure we are on the same page. Current time, which is all good. And it says missing the user's argument. Ooh, let me see, why is that? Ask rec, because the name is fine. Name is fine. Oh, I think I know why. Because of the path. That's why. Right now it doesn't see the path. So I'm going to copy this stuff over there. Maybe all of them. It should be working from now. Nah, No, not really, actually. It should be working from that place. Cacao. Yeah, as I said, it's quite a delicate case. So ask correct PTT missing the user argument. Let me verify. Yes, let's give it a chance because it should be all working nicely. This one goes out. No, I want this one full screen. And here we should get information about the timing. Yes, so we've got 26 and 31. Maybe it took me a little bit too long. Yes, I think it could be the case. Let's do it one more time. So it's going to be this one. Yeah. So this is the name. And let me copy it one more time. Unfortunately, yes, this is sometimes like that. We're almost there. I'm gonna copy this stuff quickly because I'm already on that box, and that's gonna be our next series of things. So what I need is the 17633. This is the one. Copy, yes, and I'm gonna paste it into that particular place. Okay. So I think it was a matter of time. Yes, that was out there a problem. Yes, and this one is called 08 something something. So let's do it again on the client box. Yep, here we go. Yes, and ask Greg, and this is the one over here. Yeah, so rename it, copy it, and I kind of like clean up a little bit, and then punk, paste, PTT, and let's see. Yeah. No, unfortunately, sometimes it's like that, as I said. PTT, it's still the same. Oh, cool. I don't know what's the story. Let me think twice. Oh, in this case. Okay, so hopefully this is only this. Thank you. I already get confused. Musty, yes? It still says that. Ask TGT. Okay, last type of a troubleshooting, because it should be fine. Ask TGT. Yeah. It's all fine. Ask rec. Uh-huh. And then we've got the stuff, and then we've got PTT. Nope. It still says this, yes? And the time is flying, which is fine. We're waiting for that particular time. But apparently it does not allow me to apply it, yeah? So it's 6:33, yes? And it's 6:34 already, so it should be all great, yes? Let me actually run one command, and then we will be finishing up, yes? So this one kind of says the same story. So Mimi over here, or actually ask TGT, yes? That's one that says the same story. It's kind of like broken or something, yes? I don't know. Ask TG. It's not TGS, yes? Let's try maybe TGS. PKI mustiness exe. Yeah, it says the same story. Okay. Yeah, so at that certain stage, I will need to try it maybe on the Windows 10 or something. But that could be a solution in our case. I really wanted to show the whole scenario, yes. So at that moment, I don't see that this is kind of responding to us because it says it's missing the user's argument, and it's for Freddy. So it should be all good. One more time, Freddy Secure.tech, Musty PTT, pass the ticket, ask TGT. Let me try TGS, but I think it will be it will not pass it immediately. Yeah, exactly, because it's a different type of a data. Yeah, okay, so we're not there with the demo, yeah? PT. This is for the last moment. Okay, it says that there is something wrong with the argument, and that's it, yes? Okay, guys, so what I wanted to show you, apparently, and it did not work out that smoothly. I'm checking out what else could be helping here. But what we should be able to do, yes, and that works very nicely, but apparently this moment it didn't, is that next time I'm going to type here WS 2012 DC secure.tech, this should be basically accessed, yes? So this is the story. For some reason, we are not able to submit the ticket. Yes, I don't know why. Probably it's going to be like that when you're going to leave, I'm going to test it and then it's going to work. Anyway, so this is the case, how we're able, at least you could see how we are able to extract the tickets from the memory, and the next stuff is really related with the submission. Okay, So thanks for being patient. We will need to move forward and verify, of course, what was the scenario there. Okay, so this is what we are able to do with the memory. Yes, within the summary, of course, as you see, whatever works, it's in the memory. Yes, we're able to get access to a lot of different types of patterns, a lot of different types of files, interesting places. How, of course, memory all works very nicely. What is kind of cool there is that memory, of course, contains a lot of secret information. So we need to be 100% sure that we know what we are sharing and with who. Yes, because that memory contains a lot of juicy type of details. Yes, a lot of juicy information. So this is the case. At the very end, yes, whenever we are analyzing memory, what we should know is that we are able to extract and troubleshoot even like the performance-related data related with the applications and so on. But not only that, but also some secrets. Yeah. So just simply speaking, be super careful about that. And at the very end, just to summarize, in order to perform the memory analysis, don't forget about Python being 32-bit, 2.7, because this is the easy start into the memory analysis scenario. So this was the presentation. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. Yes, enjoy the rest of your days. And don't forget about the t-shirts. I got them again, as on the last presentations. Yes, I'm going to throw them. And more t-shirts are waiting for you in the booth of... Ooh, this was... Yeah. In the booth of the Cornerstone and at skills and global knowledge. So this is the setup. I do like this with the group. Yay! Yes, thank you.